A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. Welcome to the second season of Humboldt Healthcast. We are kicking off this season with a fairly uncomfortable topic for most people, colon health. It's not the typical podcast season opener you'd expect, but March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and the more that we talk about uncomfortable things, the more likely they are to become normal to talk about. This subject hits close to home for me because I have a family history of colon cancer. My grandfather had colon cancer and ended up dying from something else, and my uncle died from it when he was around 60. So about a year ago, soon after the pandemic started and the stay-at-home orders were announced, I was having a few issues in the bathroom, and I don't know if you've ever seen red in the water of the toilet bowl after a bowel movement, but it's terrifying. And I remember just crying when it happened to me because I was already so stressed and I couldn't imagine dealing with one more thing at the time. And I was also really embarrassed to tell anybody about it. So I messaged my provider at the time, and she recommended an at-home test. But this particular test is only for people 50 years and older, and since I'm a few years shy of 50, I would have to get it pre-authorized by my insurance in order for it to be covered. So I made a few calls back to my provider and to the insurance company, and it was turning into such a figurative pain in the butt. Plus, the pandemic had just started and schools were closed, and I actually just gave up on it all, which is definitely not a recommended approach, but I believe a common one, unfortunately. I did check in with the provider at the same day clinic of the Priority Care Center where I work and was reassured that this was most likely not a sign of colon cancer. Some lab work was ordered to double check a few things, and some lifestyle things were recommended, like don't stay on the toilet longer than needed and to increase water and fiber. So fast forward to this year, when I established care with a new provider and I disclosed my family history of colon cancer and how old my uncle was when he died, and it turns out that I might need to start my screenings with a colonoscopy, because typically they can start with an at-home test, which we'll hear more about. And when I heard that, I felt like I imagine most people feel when the subject of colorectal cancer screenings are mentioned, worried and resistant and wishing I didn't have to do any of this. But as I'm learning in life, the head in the sand approach rarely works for long. And honestly, after talking about this subject with so many people for the podcast, if I need a colonoscopy, I'll do it. So I get it. We're embarrassed to talk about our colons and issues that we're having in the bathroom. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to take the at-home tests, and we definitely don't want to get colonoscopies. But it's one way that we can take care of ourselves. Colon cancer is preventable and easily treatable when it's caught early. So perhaps listening to this episode will open your minds to the subject and open your colons to screening when they're recommended for you.
In today's episode, we'll be talking to Karen Ayers, a nurse practitioner at the Priority Care Center, about colon cancer screening guidelines, what the at-home tests are, and what to expect during a colonoscopy and the prep experience. And then we're going to talk to my dad, who has had a few colonoscopies over the years. Hi, Karen.
Hey, hi.
What would you say are like common things people say when you're mentioning either the screen, you know, whatever screening is appropriate for that person? What are things that people say commonly to you?
Yes. Well, so it varies because, of course, people vary, but some people are, yep, on board. They're, you know, really kind of on time and doing everything along the guidelines and recommendations for their health, and other people are a little more what I would say avoidant or not wanting to do the testing perhaps. And so we have these discussions, and that seems to be helpful to allay some fear. So I think fear is part of it, and just sort of human inertia around these things, getting past this kind of actually just doing something. That's perhaps another thing that I hear people say to me. Because, for example, I may meet with somebody for, say, an annual exam, and we are going over all the preventive health, and we give them the little fit kit to take home. And we notice a few months down the road that we haven't gotten any results back yet. And so we'll call and say, just wanted to remind you to please get that done. And, you know, see if there are any questions or problems. And it's often just human things, like I forgot, or, I put that in the bathroom, but I just keep overlooking it every time I go in there.
Right.
That kind of thing. So just a little nudge, we'll usually get that moving. And then, so there's that. And then I think there's just fear of the results sometimes, people not wanting bad news. That comes up a little bit. And so we try to talk through that, and it's very understandable.
What do you say to people? Because I think that's really common, actually. And I really appreciate just your approach to, it's just human things. Like, we forget, you know, it's just like, oh, I've been meaning to do it. It's just not top of my mind. But what do you say to the people who, or anyone out there listening, about like fear of the results? Because I think that's pretty common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And so we try to talk through, you know, usually my starting point is, you know, sort of tell me what you know or what you understand, so that I can kind of know where they're coming from and sort of, you know, correct some things. I also try to remind people that anytime we're doing screening like this, we're doing the screening because we actually have the ability to find something early. And when you find something early, you can take care of it easily and probably just cure it and be done. So the, you know, when we talk about a colonoscopy, they're going in there with direct visualization with a camera to actually look at the inside of the colon. And they can see if there's a small growth like a polyp, something like that, and remove it actually right then and there, which is really why we say colonoscopy is sort of a screening test, but also almost a treatment test. Right there, we can take care of things. And that gives people some reassurance if they can get over that fear kind of thing of not wanting bad news or not wanting to know. And sometimes people are just going through so much in their life that another element of angst or fear or worry or finding or even the potential for a complication is just too much to add right then. And so we'll talk about it again in a few months or next time that we see each other. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's a really great approach, and just understanding that it's people's choice, of course, and then you as their provider have a responsibility to let them know that it's in their best interest to get this. And then you're also respecting their decision and that you'll mention it, you know, but you're not going to force them to do anything, of course.
Absolutely. Yes. I always remind people I'm sort of I'm your counselor. I'm your advisor. I'm not your boss. So
right.
I can give you the best advice I know and my recommendations. And even if you say no, I'll probably give those again. The next time that we see each other, I'm going to keep reminding you that I still think it's a good thing for you to do, but it's your choice ultimately. And I do understand, your reasons for not wanting to do it and the human nature of all of this.
If you would please talk a little bit about the current screening guidelines for colorectal cancer, please.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking I would preface my answer with just an explanation again about what screening really is. And you know, just so we're all talking from the same point of view. screening is looking for something, signs of something, but it's done in the absence of any symptoms. So this is a person who has no signs whatsoever, if we're talking about colon cancer, of colon cancer, no tummy pain, no trouble with their bowel movements, nothing really going on. But they've come to a particular age where we feel that their risk for developing a cancer is higher, and we have a way of sort of surveilling or looking to see if there's anything we should be worried about. So again, it's something done in the absence of symptoms. If some symptoms were going on, then, you know, we would probably be having a different discussion.
Okay.
So just kind of off the top. And then as far as colorectal cancer screening, the guidelines say for someone of very average, normal kind of risk, that we start screening for that at age 50. And we do we can talk about the different types of colon cancer screening. So anywhere from a colonoscopy, which probably a lot of people have heard of, to at-home testing. And I can get into the different kind of varieties of that, of those two types of tests, if you like.
Yeah, also, that would be great.
Okay. So so age 50 is usually where we start. I'll just start with the age thing there, because there is a chance where we would start screening somebody earlier, and that would be those people who are not of average risk, but who are of higher risk because of their family history, perhaps, or some personal history that they themselves have. So just to a general ballpark kind of thing to tell you is that if somebody has a family member who has had colon cancer, this is a first degree relative, like a father, maybe even an uncle, a sister, a brother, mother, you know, just those people right in your first sphere of relatives.
Right.
If they have had colon cancer, we like to know what age they developed colon cancer. And we like to start screening their offspring at, or their relative at, 10 years before that date. So for example, if your father had colon cancer at age 60, you know, we'd want to start screening you at age 50. But there's a little nuance to that. For example, if your father had colon cancer found at age 60, but at that point it was metastatic and had probably occurred years earlier, then I might want to start screening you earlier. And again, I'm screening you because you don't have any symptoms.
Got it.
I'm just looking for things. So if you are of that kind of risk, that level of risk where you have that family history, my recommendation for you is going to be that we do kind of the gold standard screening test, which is a colonoscopy. And there's, you know, there's lots of reasons that that's a perfectly safe and good option to do. And there's a couple of reasons where it's not so desirable, because it's kind of a thing to go through. And then sometimes there are some people who have some medical conditions where maybe it's a little more of a risky procedure. So if we're not going to do the gold standard colonoscopy for screening, we could do screening with other testing. But again, so those higher risk people, my recommendation is going to be that we get a colonoscopy for screening. So if we can't do that for some reason, or if there's really the choice, so you're of average risk, not high family risk, and you want to do just routine screening, then short of doing a colonoscopy, we could do something that's really proven to be very quite adequate and, you know, kind of equal testing, screening testing. And that is to collect a stool sample from you each year. And this is an immunochemical test, fecal immunochemical test, or a FIT test, where we just give you a little envelope with a tiny little vial and a swab in it, send it home with you. And the next time that you poop, you could take a little swab off, say, off the toilet paper if you wipe and have some poop on the toilet paper. They give you some other methods for collecting it. It's just on this little swab. You take a smear of it and pop it into the vial and put the vial into the envelope and send it off in the mail to the lab. And that's an easy and an inexpensive way to test and screen for colon cancer.
Yeah, that sounds much more, if you're able to do the at-home test, that sounds like, you know, a great alternative to going through all the prep and the procedure of a colonoscopy if that's deemed adequate for a person.
Exactly, yes. And I totally understand people's sort of angst about wanting to do a colonoscopy or not wanting to do a colonoscopy. I can tell you that here at Priority Care, where I work, we have this lovely program that's actually open to the entire community. We call it the Health Decision Center. And you can actually kind of sit down for a minute and talk with someone about all the options, look at kind of the risks laid out pretty nicely in some good diagrams, and you know, decide what's right for you as far as colon cancer screening goes. Just know that that's an option too.
Could you please speak to like what you say to people as like preventative lifestyle things to prevent, I guess, just cancer in general, but specifically colon cancer?
Yeah. For me, it's all those, like I call them the four pillars of health. So good diet, plenty of exercise, good sleep, and stress management. Those four things. Those are things that we tend to have some element of control over in the world that we live in. And so optimizing those four things to the best of our ability. So again, that's our nutrition, our exercise or activity, our sleep, and our stress management. So I think all of those feed into how our body moves through the world and how it reacts and those kinds of things. As far as probably the things that we could direct more toward colon cancer, I would say probably that exercise and diet and optimizing those. And these are things we all know as human beings, but we don't always do so well at. But that 150 minutes at least of movement in a, you know, with a, at a good clip in a week, however you want to parse that out. And then a diet that's high in fiber that comes from food, from fruits, from vegetables, from legumes, complex carbohydrates like whole grains, that kind of thing. All very important. So the other things that I think are important is really the health of your gastrointestinal tract, and that comes from how well you eat and from how well you manage your stress. I think there's a big connection between our brain and our gut.
Absolutely, I agree.
I guess I would just say one more thing about screening. You know, when we do a test, we get results, and the results are pretty reliable, or we wouldn't be recommending these studies. But in any case, there is a small possibility of false negatives or false positives, and just kind of keeping that in mind. And that's why we think it's important to check in with your healthcare provider regularly and keep doing, keep, you know, just adhering to those recommendations and guidelines, and keeping an open mind and lots of discussion.
Okay, now we're going to switch gears and talk to my dad, John Ferry. I call him Pop. Hi, Pop.
Hi, Juliet.
This episode, as I talked to you about, is on colon health, and it's not the most traditional podcast topic, but that's kind of what our clinic is all about, is kind of destigmatizing uncomfortable subjects, and colon health is one of those uncomfortable subjects. And so I thought it would be fun to talk to you, since unfortunately there is colon cancer in our family. And I just thought we could talk a little bit more about that. And so the The first question was, you know, what is your experience with colonoscopies?
Colonoscopies. Well, I had my, as per schedule, when I turned 50, I'm 73 now, my primary care physician said it's time for a colonoscopy. So I had my first colonoscopy when I was 50 years old. And I've had two more after that, I guess at the regularly scheduled intervals, because they've always been pre-scheduled for me, you know, it's time. And I think I have a fourth one coming up in a few years based on the results of the previous ones.
Did they all, because we know that there's colon cancer in our family, but it doesn't sound like you knew that when you had your first one. It wasn't a risk factor for you at that time.
You're correct. When I had the first colonoscopy at 50, we didn't know that there was a risk factor in my family. And either with or without the risk factor, I guess the three colonoscopies I've had were at the time period and ages recommended. But it's fortunately that I've had three, because, you know, the risk factors have turned up. My father had colon cancer, which was removed surgically, and he eventually died years later from other reasons. I think it was a heart attack. But my brother, who is 2 years younger than I am, died directly from colon cancer. And I'm not sure of his age, but I don't think he was in his 50s. You know, he's relatively young.
When he was diagnosed, how old was Uncle Lewis when he passed?
I don't remember. He was probably, I think he was, I'm just guessing if he was in his 50s. It was
11 years ago.
He was relatively young. I mean, it was definitely over a decade ago.
Yeah, Nora was just born, and that was like 12 and a, or 11 and a half years ago.
Okay, well, that puts it in the right ballpark then.
Yeah, so he, if I remember correctly, it was kind of like diagnosed at a late stage for him, right? Because I remember talking to him about it, and he said that he was really kind of nervous to get a more diagnostic test because he really just didn't want to find out. Like he said he was a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, but he kept putting it off. And, you know, whether it was at the stage or it wouldn't have made any difference, we'll never know.
Yeah. Right. So if he is a couple years younger than you, 2 years younger, and that was 11 years ago, he would have been like 60 or so.
Right. Yeah.
So really, he probably would have, I just had a conversation with our one provider, a nurse practitioner, and she was saying that that's just like such a common thing for people of not wanting to know answer because it's too scary.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure what the colonoscopy itself, particularly if you're under anesthesia, you know, it's, you know, you don't know a thing. The preparation for it is the part that it's a pain. Now the first preparation I had, which was 23 years ago, apparently at the time I went to a proctologist, and he gave me this concoction called, it was a powder, go easy or easy go, whatever it is.
Would you say that it was an easy go?
Well, it was a dramatic go, but you mixed it with water, you know, so you end up with a gallon of this mixture, and then you refrigerate it because it tastes awful at room temperature.
Right.
And you start drinking it, like maybe they say right around 5 o'clock or just, you know, before you have dinner. And then you stay close to a bathroom because it works very quickly. But probably by before you go to bed that evening, you're clean. You're done. Everything is gone. You've cleaned it out.
Right.
Now, the next day when I went for the procedure, I'm in the operating room on the table, and a nurse came in and said, "We're having a problem. The doctor called in sick, and we're looking for a doctor to do the procedure." And this, it probably took another hour before they finally found another doctor to do the procedure. But if they hadn't found a doctor, I was ready to do it myself, you know, because I wasn't wasting that prep time. I just remember the name of the first gallon stuff is called Go Lightly, which is not, which is definitely not what happens. But
is it accurate?
I like that because when you were done drinking the gallon, you were done.
Yeah, then you did feel light.
You got a great night's sleep. You didn't have to worry about it.
I guess when you're done, you feel lighter. Maybe that's
Oh, definitely. Definitely you feel lighter.
Right.
And the next day after the colonoscopy is great too, because I never realized this, but you're a flatulence champ because apparently they use a gas to inflate your colon slightly so everything goes through fine.
Yeah.
Well, when they're done, you know, you're left with a lot of that gas. So you're a real, I mean, you can really reef down because you don't have to worry about solids.
Right. It's just the gas.
Just the gas. I rattled windows.
And as far as like, you know, any advice to others now that you're a colonoscopy champ, any advice that you could offer to people who are maybe hesitant or nervous?
Is get them done. It's obviously an uncomfortable preparation, and it's definitely an invasive procedure. But if it's detected early enough, it's 100% curable. So, you know, you're taking the day of the prep, let's say the day of the prep, and the actual procedure, you might be talking, you know, let's say 24 hours of uncomfort, you know, but it's a very preventable disease. So get it.
Yeah, just do it.
Do it. Yep.
Yeah. A day of uncomfortableness versus life-saving procedure, potentially.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you get to brag about it afterwards. You
know? Have bragging rights.
Bragging rights, at least for a day. But after the first one, you did a lot of talking. After you've had one, you know, the rest of them are like, meh, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have to imagine, like, there's a lot to talk about after the first one. Like, you know, you want to just talk to people about it because you made it through and it's kind of funny and your experience. And then you're right. It's just kind of old hat.
But I think I'm pretty sure on the third one, the second and third one were done by proctologists. And I think on the third one, you know, afterwards, I was talking with a proctologist, and he said he did remove a few precancerous polyps,
which is what
you know, the whole, that's one of the goals of the procedure, is if they see anything, they get rid of it before it causes any problems.
Right. Yeah, I guess maybe the next one you'll have your punch card. Maybe you'll just be able to do it yourself.
Yeah.
During our conversation, Karen had mentioned the Health Decision Center, which is a free service to anyone in the community to discuss decisions you may have with your health. People can be referred by their health provider, or they can refer themselves. You would call for an appointment, a decision aid of education and literature would be mailed to you, and then we would meet to talk about your choices and preferences, questions, concerns, your goals, so that ultimately you can make the best choice for you. Typical topics that we discuss are, should I get this knee replacement? Should I get this hip replacement? Sleeping better, coping with symptoms of depression or anxiety, people considering weight loss surgery, or as Karen mentioned, colon cancer screening. So please give us a call if you are in the Humboldt County area. Our number is 707-442-0478. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne-Staffness, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.